Welcome to the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with your host, accountant and author Carol Topp, the homeschool CPA. Join Carol as she shares her knowledge on a topic of interest to everyone, money. On the show, Carol will discuss starting and running a microbusiness, teaching your kids about money, and managing money in a homeschool organization. Carol takes confusing topics such as money and business and puts them into clear English. She's ready to share her knowledge with you on today's show.
His parents would give him, what do they call those things in sales? They have a word for them. What's it called? Incentives? No, the like little plaques, little displays. They have a word for it. I don't know what it is. Milestone, is that what it's called? Anyway, he would give him a plaque, an award. You hit 10,000 customers. You hit, and it was really cool. He had them lined up on his shelf. So anyway, that was one way that they encouraged him, you know? Rah, rah for you, kid. You hit a milestone. You hit a plaque, you know, you hit something. Help them set goals. What is your goal of this micro business? Is it just to learn something like Philip, or is it to earn enough money for what? And this is really practical. So the kid with the guitar teaching, Ethan, he wanted to earn enough money to pay for insurance. Do you think any 16-year-old boy knows what insurance costs? Probably not. So let's talk to him about it. Well, let's get the insurance agent on the phone and have him give us a quote. That's your goal. Earn enough money to pay for your, see what I mean? Give them real life application stuff. And that's what I was talking about, recognition. Did you have the next slide, Greg? So, getting started. Next one. First of all, you have to see a need. If there is no need for what you're making, no one will part with their money. Do you know about mannies? Mannies are male nannies. Great idea. Is there a need for boy babysitters or male nannies? Yes, yes, because look what they will do that. All right. And sometimes there was an article in the Wall Street Journal a couple months back about sometimes the boy babysitters can charge a premium because they're rarer, but they are willing to do crazy stuff that a lot of times moms, especially single moms or girl babysitters, are not as willing to do. So that's definitely a need out there. If your son is good with children, make sure he has lots of references. Boy, we were just talking about the Leaders Conference about the difficulty of the perception of young men and children. So just make sure that he has good references. Maybe he'll volunteer for a few hours in your church first so he gets good references or something like that. Okay? Enough said. Anyway, see a need. If there's a need, maybe they can fulfill it. Do you have the next one? Thank you. Have them consider their skills and talents. Emily knew how to play piano. She could teach piano to other students. I showed you Adam, who was the actor, how he converted what he was good at. I had a young man come up to me, and he was a fantastic artist. He showed me on his phone some things he had drawn. It was phenomenally good. I mean, there are a lot of good kids, good artists out there, but this guy was really phenomenal. And I said, are you selling these on Etsy? It's Etsy, how it's pronounced. And he was like, what's that? You know, he was a teenage boy. He didn't know what Etsy was. He probably didn't know what Pinterest was either. Do you know what Pinterest and Etsy are? No? You do, good. Anyway, he had skills and talents. He just needed a little help of marketing it. All right. Lots of skills and talents out there. If you're skilled with athletics, that's my next workshop. Let me say that for my next workshop, where I talk about 30-plus micro-businesses, what teenagers can do. In general, you want you as an adult or your teenager to think about, are they going to sell a product or are they going to sell a service? Now, remember I told you about hula hoops and fire? And I told her, don't sell the product, mostly because of liability. Sell instead the knowledge or the service. Really, when you sell a service, you're selling your knowledge or your time. Okay, hit the next one. Let me show you. Normally, I encourage students to not sell products unless they're very unique. This is a very unique one. She passed that around. This is called a man candle. This is from a micro business from a kid named Hart Maine. It's going around in Ohio. And he got this idea for a micro business because his sister was selling candles with girly scents. But he wanted candles with manly scents. So he started a candle business. And the one going around is New York style pizza. But his other candle scents are things like dirt, sawdust, freshly mowed grass, grandpa's pipe. Isn't that cool? And he's been very successful. Very unique product, very successful. But he's been featured on Biz Kids, the PBS program. Really cool. And see how this is a soup can? He takes the soup, donates it to a soup kitchen, and then sells the candles. But Hart got so busy, his business went viral, he got so busy he couldn't keep up with orders. And I remember one time reading on his website, he was only like 12 when this started. I think he's probably 16 or 17 now. And he'd written on there about, thank you for your orders, sorry I'm behind, I hired my mom and my sister to help, but I still have to go to school. So anyway, could you have the next picture, Greg? The problem with products, do you see what this is? This is a minivan full of cans of soup. So part of the problem with products is inventory. Inventory, just managing inventory. How does Hart know if more dirt or New York style pizza candles are going to sell? He doesn't know that until he's built enough inventory, made enough sales. So there's problems with products. Let me see what my next slide is. Okay, let me keep talking about products. Inventory, sales tax, shipping, back orders. The purchase of you need the money typically to start with the inventory. So that's tricky. That's hard. I was just talking to a mom. I don't know if you're here. Daughter wanted to start a bakery. You hear it? I don't know if she made it in. Anyway, daughter wanted to start a bakery. And I said, here's how she should start. Volunteer to make cupcakes for someone's birthday party. See if she even likes making cupcakes, right? I also met this boy. He was in a little summer camp for entrepreneurship. And his idea was a mobile waffle-making truck. A truck, like those food carts, food trucks, right, that go around, and he was going to make waffles. And I said, I can't remember the kid's name, and I said, you ever made waffles before? Oh, yeah, in the hotel, when you pour the batter in. No. Let's test this idea. And he was all into the kind of truck. Okay, let's see if you like making what you're talking about making first. So let's do it on a small scale. Volunteer to make some cupcakes. Why don't you volunteer to make some waffles at your, local whatever, homeschool group or sports? I said, go to a swim meet. Go to a swim meet this summer. Make waffles. See if you like it. Okay? Anyway, try it out. Let's hit the next slide. Instead, I think teenagers, maybe even adults who want to run a micro business, should consider service-based businesses. You sell your time, you sell your knowledge. You're not dealing with the products. But a lot of times, kids think only products. So I'm trying to get them away from thinking about products. Think about services. Next slide. Now, my next workshop is, and that one's online, the 30-plus micro businesses. So if you don't make it into the room, I think the handout is online for that workshop. But here's some ideas. Some of these you've already heard me talk about in this workshop. Tutoring, childcare, music lessons, editing papers. Editing, if they're good, they can edit for other people. I hire an editor for everything I write. Web design, app design, iPhone apps. There's app schools out there that teach you how to do it now. Taking care of dogs, pets of all kinds. Bookkeeping, that's what my daughter did. Event planning, that'd be fun micro business. Virtual assistant, I've hired several virtual assistants. They help write my blogs, they help with my email list, they edit videos for me, stuff like that. Writer, author, blogger. I do a workshop. I just put it on my podcast. I sent around a postcard about my podcast called dollarsandcentsshow.com. And I did a workshop with an author named Rachel Coker, the youngest author ever to be published by Zondervan. And it was really good. So if you have a kid who's interested in writing, go listen to that podcast. It's also, we put it out as a YouTube video. So if you go to Micro Business for Teens, the video page, you can find some videos of Rachel talking about what it's like to be a published author. Lawn care, traditional stuff. And if they're willing to clean, wow, someone will hire them to clean. Clean up after pets, clean cars, clean houses, clean garages. Yep.
Car wash is also good.
Car wash.
14, the name of their business is We Wash.
We Wash.
And they have these pages on the back, work as if you're working for the Lord. Mm. And it's really amazing.
Very cool. Very cool.
And they found a neighborhood. And so basically they go out on Thursdays and they have a little notebook and it has Ephesians on the front of it.
Yeah.
And they take, you know, who's going to do what, like we're going to go Thursday at 5 o'clock and they have an appointment book.
There you go.
And then they go out on Saturday and then they wash the cars. And a lot of times if you're working for the Lord, they give you tips. The car, but some people give them like $25 and $190 something like that every Saturday.
Good. Let me summarize what she said in case you couldn't hear. Your two sons have a car washing business.
My son and his buddy.
Your son and his buddy. Oh, okay. I'm a little worried about that, but let's keep going. Okay. I don't like partnerships. Anyway, the two guys go out on Wednesdays to set appointments, and on Saturdays,
they pray before they go
out, and they charge $10 a car. This is beautiful. And then they go on Saturdays to clean the cars. And sometimes because the clients know that these kids are kids, first of all, that's a huge advantage. You know, people are a lot more willing to give a kid extra money. And because they see it as a ministry because they're so obvious about their faith, they get tips. And sometimes if a kid says, hey, I'm doing this to raise money to go on a mission trip, money comes in. Very good. All right. Thank you. I encourage students to do what I call a mini market survey. So if they have an idea, it's part of the final step of a business plan, to go and ask 3 to 5 potential customers, do you need my product or service? Will you buy from me? When do you need it? And what are you willing to pay? So let's say my daughter wants to offer piano lessons. She started with our homeschool co-op, just surveyed people via emails, pretty easy, or face-to-face if they're, you know, self-confident enough. Is there a need? Would you like it if I offered beginning piano lessons for $7 for a half hour? Yeah, when the going rate's 15, 20, 25, yeah. So is there a need? Would you buy from me? When do you want your child to start? Maybe you want to wait till the summer? No, I want to start now, that kind of thing. And what price are you willing to pay? What that does is it gives them an idea of if there's a need, what price they can charge. It's also the first little bit of advertising, very low-key advertising, right? To say, I'm thinking about.
You're listening to the Dollars and Cents Show with Carol Topp. We're going to take a quick commercial break and be right back.
More than 50% of teenagers were unemployed last summer. Are you a teenager who needs some money but can't find a job? You can earn money by starting a business, and Micro Business for Teens will show you how. You'll learn how to come up with a great idea, test it, and avoid common pitfalls. Discover the secrets to success, put into action what you learn, and before long, you'll be raking in the profits. Check out Micro Business for Teens website for ideas and profiles of teenagers who are running their own micro businesses. Visit microbusinessforteens.com and get started earning money today.
Welcome back to the Dollars and Cents Show with Carol Topp. We will rejoin this broadcast in progress.
About starting a business. It also lets them know if it's just plain viable. So one of my students, Stephen, he was part of this microbusiness class I was teaching, and his idea for his microbusiness was he was going to use his skill and his talent, which was playing video games. And he was going to play through the difficult parts of video games for his friends, get them to the next level, right? So he did a mini market survey because that was part of the requirement of the class, and he came back and said, Mrs. Topp, this is not going to work. So what's the matter? And he said, the best price I could get on my friends was $1. So one guy only walked off for me 50 cents. I said, oh, okay, Stephen, it's not going to work. It's just not going to work. But at the same time, my book, the first book, Starting Microbusiness, it was in like the beta format, and I was giving it to the kids, and I was saying, whenever you find a typo, I'm going to give you a piece of candy. I brought a big old bag of candy to class, and every time they found a typo, so were my editors, every time you find a typo, tell me about it. And Stephen came back to class the next week with 4 pages of errors. He read through the whole book. He was just a natural born editor. Not natural. He was trained. He was good. I'm like, Stephen, start editing. Edit for college kids. Edit for high school kids. Edit. You're good at this. You know, and I gave him the whole bag of candy and the rest of the class went. So anyway, you can unearth talents you don't know. But the mini market survey obviously told Stephen he was not going to make money off of his wonderful skill of playing video games, unfortunately. For him. Okay. My convention special is my 4-book set with that video, that DVD I was telling you about. So I wrote it. I wrote the book in small stages because I didn't think it would go over well with teenagers to write a book called Starting a Micro Business and have it be an inch thick, right? So it's broken down into starting, running, and the all-important subject of money and taxes, and, you know, a workbook. So they flesh out. They write out what they're thinking about. While we're going to take some, oh, we got good time for Q&A. We've got some feedback slip because I would love to give, I've got two of the sets. I want to give away two sets of my books in electronic format. So does anybody need a feedback slip? Okay. Could you pass those back
sure,
to?
Don't forget about Philip.
Philip, thank you. I will tell you about Philip. Anybody need some on this side of the room? There you go. If you want to put your, at least put your name on there so I can call out your name. But if you want to be on the email list, are they coming back? There's a lady back there that needs a feedback slip. And I appreciate your feedback for better or for worse, too. Yeah. I'm sorry. There they're coming.
Are you doing Q&A?
Yes.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Could you talk a little bit about maybe tips or pitfalls or whatever to avoid? There's so much, like...
Yeah, I did touch on something I don't like.
Okay. With a teenager.
What scares you about YouTube? Them putting their faces out there?
Yes.
Let's talk. And this is your job as a parent to say, okay, I don't want to discourage you, but let's be sensible. You don't see the scary things I do. So if you're going to put out a YouTube video, it's not going to have your face or your name on it. Okay? So, yeah, you just have some privacy concerns. And I like to encourage you to start, let's just start small. It's called a micro business for a reason. Okay, why are you on YouTube? Do you need the national reach like Philip did with free forums? Or are you just starting a dog walking or, you know, a car wash where you don't need a YouTube video? You're going local. So it's the advertising is different when you're local versus national. Okay, and like I said, when I went to Philip's website for the first time, I could not find his name. I could not tell he was a 15-year-old boy. That was for his own protection. His parents were obviously doing a good job of talking about that. Okay, so if your antenna goes up, that's a good thing. And you say, I understand, I'm not discouraging you, but let's talk about internet safety. Right? Okay. I touched on her comment about her son and his buddy. I don't like partnerships for teenagers. I don't like partnerships, period, even for adults. Because the man in the back's nodding his head, you got stories to tell, I bet. Here's what I say about partnerships. Business partnerships are like being married, but you're not in love. Because you are tied financially to that person. That person can put you into debt without and can go out and spend money. Either of those boys could go out and spend money. Also, they have a partnership tax return that they should be filing. I don't know how much money they made. Maybe they didn't make enough, but $400 is a pretty low threshold, right? It's just too complicated. I think they should each start their own business and hire the other one. So one of them should own that business and hire the other one and pay him. Okay? Or they each run their independent businesses and help each other with marketing or something. The guy in the back has a comment, then I'll get you, ma'am.
We actually just got finished with a study, and you argued that having a partner is actually unbiblical. So
tell me what you remember.
Just talk about the same exact thing that you just talked about, the fact that
the connect,
you are now
the time.
Tied.
You're married financially,
you
yeah.
You are a slave
to that person. and no partner is ever 50-50. So what I didn't tell you in the Phillips story was actually he started a website before freeforums.org with his best friend John, and it came time to do the tax return. And I said, well, get the information from John about what his expenses are because all the income was coming into Phillips' name, I think, or they were somehow. And John's father, who I never met, says, oh, no, this is not a partnership. The boys never had anything legally drawn up. It was only verbal. This is not a partnership. This is my son's business. Philip, who's my client, he works for John. That is not what the boys agreed to. So my client, Philip, and his parents went to an attorney who basically said, if it's verbal, there's nothing in writing. So guess who's no longer best friends? John and Philip. They parted. And guess who learned not to go into a partnership again? Philip. When he needed help, he hired help, but it was his business. So I just avoid partnerships. So see what they can work out, those boys. Yeah.
Can you qualify
That's per person tax year, the $400 threshold on self-employment tax. Yeah, darn. Yeah, and it's so tiny. I went to Congress to complain. I really did. I wrote up a white paper. I went to two different congressmen to say, do you realize this threshold has not been adjusted since the 1960s? I would like to see it raised to the same level as the $6,100, $250 now or whatever it is, which is the standard deduction for a single person, which gets adjusted every year. But I'm not getting anywhere because it's Social Security. Okay, feedback slips. Why don't we pass them to the center and pass them in? I'll take another question. Yeah.
So what about scalability? When your kids get kind of good and efficient, how do they, do you have coaching or a book that talks about going to the next level?
He's talking about when they get good and efficient, go to the next level. I guess I kind of reserve that for the adult level books, you know, and because one of the, and I emphasize micro business, but when they get older and it can become their livelihood, definitely. That's why I'd say, one of the books I really like is called Starting a Micro Business by Entrepreneurship Press or Entrepreneur Press, the magazine. It's a book that fat, and it is fabulous because she talks about all kinds of stuff that they might need to know about at that point, like employees or hiring independent contractors for the skill sets that they need that they don't have. So they don't use the word microbusiness. That's my word. Starting a business, Entrepreneur Press. Oh, shoot, just email me and I'll find it. It's on my shelf at home. I can picture it in my mind. I'll bring it up on Amazon if I think about it. There's plenty of really good books out there, but that one is really a good classic. The woman's name is something like, I can't remember. A woman wrote it. I'm not even going to say because I'm going to get it wrong. I'm sorry. Starting a Small Business, I think is what it's called. Great big fat book. Entrepreneur Press or Entrepreneurship Press. Entrepreneurship, I think. Yeah.
What about like selling on eBay or online?
Those are really good. Yeah, selling on eBay or selling online. There's two kind of things. There is the electronic garage sale, which is you're just selling things that you've owned. Okay, and there's not really a tax implication there, but when you're buying a product with the thought of I'm going to resell it, whether it's online, in person, or through retail or something like that, yeah, then there's actually quite a bit of record keeping. So you need to keep track of what did I pay for this item. In accounting, we call that the cost of the goods sold. So what is the cost? So I bought this thing, that was the cost that I bought it for. Now I sell it, of course, for a markup. And that's always the tricky thing. How much am I going to mark it up? You know, I got to cover my taxes. I got to cover, my time. I got to make a profit, right? And then you sell it. So the difference there, your profit, is what all your expenses and your taxes have to come out of. So, yeah, it can be very viable, but it's still selling a product. So it's still inventory. It's still finding the product, knowing what the right price is, the right markup. It's complicated, but it can be done from home. That's a wonderful thing. Yeah. Yeah. She says that they need startup money. They want to sell their pre-owned things to raise cash. Perfectly good idea. Perfectly fine. No, we don't have to pay taxes. Usually because the thing we're selling has not appreciated in value. If you have a work of art and it appreciates in value, you have to pay what's called capital gains on the appreciated value. But most of the stuff they're selling is not appreciated in value. They're selling it at less than its cost. So they're just happy to have the cash. So there's no tax implication. Okay. Greg, can you pull two names out of the, stick your hand in there and pull out two names? And what I have is these books in ebook format. So what you get is, I have these for sale at my booth too, a website to go to and a unique access code. And then you get access to, there's a whole bunch of files there. And whether you have a Mobi or, a Kindle or an iPad, or you just want it PDF, all the file formats are out there. Okay, so it's the three books and the workbook that you got. Or if you don't like ebooks, you can have the video. Okay? Who doesn't like ebooks? Tavona, I don't know, more? Yay! Would you like the video or the ebook? Yeah, thought so. By the way, I sold these for $19.95, which is about half price of the print books and even less than if you go to the website. And I-U-R-I-A. Bunner? I don't know how to pronounce the first name. Oh, it's a V. Evria. It's a very pretty name. I just couldn't see the V. There you go. I hope your kids enjoy it. We got a few more minutes. Let me think if there's any other questions I want to answer. Philip, thank you. See, I knew I was going to forget. Okay, so Philip sells his website. You did tell me earlier, and I forgot. Philip sells his website for $1.2 million. It was a combination of stock in the company that bought him out, which was called, I think, Crowd Gatherer, I think. Okay, could you advance to the next slide? Advance to the next slide. That's fine. Okay, and it was a combination of stock in the new company and cash, and it was an agreement that he continue working for the company for 1 year as an employee. I guess the thought is they wanted to retain his knowledge, you know, and his knowledge. So fair enough. So his mom calls me and says, Philip sold his website. I said, yeah, I know. It was in the paper. I mean, it was really good. And she said, well, the reason I'm calling is because, you know, I have some questions. Philip wants to do something with his cash. First of all, he bought a townhome with his cash. Whoa, you know, he's a landlord now, which is pretty cool. Right there on the edge of campus, the University of Cincinnati, so he's renting to students now. Anyway, she said, well, Philip wants to pay off our mortgage with some of the cash he received. Dad had been in sales. It was the recession. He'd been in and out of jobs, and Philip knew his parents had been having a hard time financially, and he wanted to pay off their mortgage. And she was calling me to see if there was any gift tax implication. I thought, that is fabulous. What a kid. What a kid. You know, can make me cry. Anyway, she said, I think Philip might be the kind of kid someday that starts a foundation. I think, yeah, that would be pretty darn cool. You know, again, Philip never went in it to say, I want to be a millionaire by the time I'm 21. He just did it to see what he was good at. He did it because he wanted to learn a lot. He learned a lot more than he ever thought he would. He learned how to hire independent contractors in Russia. He did it one time. I was like, do I have to give them a 1099? I had to look up Russian-America treaty law. Whatever. He learned how to work with a CPA. He learned about record keeping. He learned about avoiding partnerships. He learned about partnership agreement. He learned tons of stuff. Is going to be beneficial to him no matter what he does. Right now, he's an employee for Google. Do you think Google likes entrepreneurial thinkers? They sure do. They sure do. No matter where it takes your kids, if they're going to start a foundation, if they're going to make money, if they're just going to learn a lot and find out what God's plan for their life is, I think encouraging them to start a very small microbusiness is a great way to start. So, any other questions, folks? Yeah. Oh, blogging, yeah. How do they make people make money blogging? I haven't quite figured that out myself, but Crystal Payne is mighty good at it. Holy cow. Okay, she got in early, though. Then the money-saving mom? That's what she is. And okay, so there's a couple ways. One, they put ads on their website. I have a blog, but honestly, the way I make money from my blog is for my services. So what my blog is just it's Homeschool CPA, where I help homeschool organizations, okay? That's where I make money. And so what my blog does is it gives you a taste of who I am, builds your trust in me so that you hire me at my hourly rate. So that's one way you can make money from a blog. The blog is just the door to the services, okay? Another way is ads. Another way a lot of bloggers make money is affiliate sales. They'll sell something and make a little kickback on it. Perfectly legal, but affiliate sales. Or they are getting so good and they've built such a following that they get paid for doing reviews. They get paid for doing reviews of products because they have huge followings, huge. That's how people make money blogging. It's the reach that they have. They're basically advertisers, marketers for other people's products. Good. It takes a lot of work. And there are whole conferences for bloggers. There's a conference for homeschool mommy bloggers to learn how to blog and build a business blogging. Yeah. Isn't that something? Yeah. Question in the back.
So when you say have to do something for a time frame,
you
say I want to be a dog walker.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the, especially the younger they are, say, okay, first of all, You're going to volunteer once or twice to see if you like doing this, okay? And then that also builds your first customers with hopefully happy reviews that you can use in your future. And then say, okay, but let's just try it for 3 months. And then at the end of 3 months, kind of like dating. Let's just try it for a little while, and then if we like it, we keep going, right? We assess the relationship, we keep going. Because kids are fickle, and they'll lose interest, and you don't want to invest too much money into something. Boy, there was a girl I had conflict over whether I was going to feature on my website because she and her mother were going to do a mobile dance studio. They took a bus and converted it and spent like $15,000 to convert this bus so this little girl could go around and give dance lessons around the city of Chicago, wherever she lived. And I just like, no, that's not my message to you all. That's too much of an investment in a kid who doesn't know next month if she wants to continue giving dance lessons, right? So that's why I say this is a micro business. This is small, easy to start, easy to shut down when they get involved in other things. Philip was a varsity baseball player. When baseball season came, his business didn't end, but he definitely couldn't develop it anymore. It definitely couldn't get as much attention. So he had to kind of put it on hold and then, you know, resurrect it again when summer came and he had more time. Ebbs and flows. All right. Well, we have to clear our room to make room for the next. Thank you all for coming. I do.
Thank you for joining the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with Carol Topp here at the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. For more helpful information, visit Carol at her website, homeschoolcpa.com.